Fans of Alex Rider, mark your calendars. The final installment of the Teen Super Spies Adventures is due to come out in March. Alex has millions of devoted young readers around the world. They've followed his adventures through 8 books as the 14-year-old orphan works for MI6, Britain's secret intelligence service, fighting evil organizations and facing deadly peril on an almost daily basis. Think James Bond in sneakers. Anthony Horowitz, Alex Rider's creator, drew an enthusiastic crowd at the Wellesley Middle School in Wellesley, Massachusetts last year. We asked students what they liked about the books.
They really relate to kids my age. Alex Rider's a lot like the average American boy, but then he's English and he's a spy.
He's a smart kid, knows how to make the best out of the situation.
I think it's like every kid's dream to be a spy, and so reading someone living your dream is pretty cool. It's like if Alex was real, you'd kind of want him to be your friend.
I love this series. It's like my favorite series ever. This is the only one with all the action, all the gadgets and stuff. It's just everything I like.
Ah, yes, the gadgets. They're in every Alex Rider book. Take this scene where a specially designed yo-yo helps Alex jump from a speeding Jeep onto a plane which is taking off from a runway.
Alex let go of the steering wheel, grabbed the harpoon gun, and fired. The harpoon flashed through the air. The yo-yo attached to Alex's belt spun, trailing out 30 yards of specially designed advanced nylon cord. The pointed head of the harpoon buried itself in the underbelly of the plane. Alex felt himself almost being torn in half as he was yanked out of the Jeep and onto the end of the cord. In seconds, he was 40, 50 yards above the runway, dangling underneath the plane.
Yikes. Here now's Emiko Tamagawa spoke with author Anthony Horowitz as he signed copies of Crocodile Tears. That's the 8th installment in the Alex Rider series. It was recently released in paperback. Emiko asked Anthony, how did the series begin?
I remembered suddenly about 10 years ago an idea I'd had for a long time, which was to do basically a James Bond-style book, but with a teenager in the lead. And this was inspired by the fact that, in my view, Bond had got too old, particularly when he was played by Roger Moore. Then I wrote that first sentence, when the doorbell rings at 3 in the morning, it's never good news. And I have to say that as soon as that was on the page, I knew I'd cracked it. I knew that something special was going to happen with this book. That was the beginning.
And like James Bond, Alex has gadgets.
I wasn't going to put gadgets into the Alex Rider books because one of the most important things for me is that they should be original. But there's a thin line between borrowing from or paying homage to James Bond and simply ripping him off. But the kids who I spoke to in schools were so hung up on gadgets that in the end I had to change my mind. And I created Smithers, who is my gadget master, who is as different to Q in the Bond films as it is possible to be. And I have 2 rules for the gadgets in the Alex Rider books. The first is that they should be something you would find in a teenager's bedroom or in his pockets, so they've got to be something that a schoolboy would have with him. And the second thing is they've got to be non-lethal. I don't have much killing in the books. People die, but not in too violent and too obvious a way.
You're right, there's not excessive violence, and Alex himself doesn't want to kill, but people do die as a result of his actions.
A writer like me has to tread a fine line. I'm very aware that I owe a great deal of my success to the teachers and to the parents and to the librarians who allow these books to reach young people, and to them I have a responsibility not to go for gross-out violence, not to use bad language. At the same time, though, I am writing for an audience that does like action and it does like, you know, an edge to the books, danger. And you cannot have danger without a threat of death, and you cannot have a threat of death without actual death. So yes, Alex does inhabit a violent world, but it is a violent world that has no connectivity, I think, with the real world. I mean, it's his own world, and that's why I think the books work, that I can go so far. And yes, one can have some fairly spectacular deaths in the books, but they're ones that always come somehow with a smile and the knowledge that they're not actually real.
The thing about Alex, though, is, you know, the kids were talking about it's fast-paced, it's energetic, that, you know, they love how inventive he is. Maybe because I'm older and I'm female, the one thing I noticed about Alex in the way is that he's very sad. He is sort of being pulled into the spy game a lot.
I think the secret of the success of the Alex Rider books, if there is one, is simply this, is that he's a reluctant spy. He just wants to be an ordinary kid. He wants to, you know, go to school. He wants to have friends. He wants to play computer games like any other teenager. And all the time he's being pulled out and thrown into these extraordinary adventures. And you say there's an element of sadness to him. He has no parents, of course, and that's part of it. But I think he is also quite isolated. And the worst thing for him is that the people who use him, MI6 in Britain or CIA in America, are by and large completely untrustworthy. I think that's very much part of the age we live in, unfortunately. Ever since the Iraq War, we have come to know that we cannot, unfortunately, trust the intelligence agencies, and that very much informed the books. But I have to say this, you know, that I think it's very important that the book should not be sad. The books are very upbeat, very optimistic, and Alex is somebody who is very much a positive thinker and who succeeds and is enabled through the books. These books are about empowerment.
It's one thing that I've noticed that, you know, and you do this, and of course it is very James Bond as well, the fact that Alex gets into all these incredibly impossible situations of impending doom, but the first thing he thinks of is, okay, how do I start getting myself out of this?
Alex Rider gets himself out of scrapes by using his ingenuity. Not gadgets necessarily, and not violence, and not things that are sort of far-fetched or silly. I mean, what is great about him as a character is that he can always think his way out of trouble, or talk his way out of trouble, or, you know, find clever ways of getting out of trouble. And that's part of the fun of it. I should say it's much easier getting him into the trouble than it is getting him out, but that's part of the challenge.
You actually, in a lot of your afterwards, thank the people who help you do your research, and let's see, you've had germ warfare, you've had genetic engineering, you've had cloning. You cover a lot of topics that I think are actually even somewhat, dare I say, educational. And you research this?
I take a great deal of care with the research for these books. One of the great pleasures of writing the book is for myself to go on a voyage of discovery and to discover all these bizarre things. For Crocodile Tears, I wanted to know how to blow up a dam. So you wouldn't have thought that a sort of a dam engineer would be the person to turn to, but sure enough, I met a wonderful man who worked for Scottish Power, who allowed me to fly up to Inverness and took me to a wonderful double curvature arch dam. And we spent the day there together walking around, and he was pointing out, oh, if you put your bomb in there, that would do terrible damage. I can see, and, you know, we forget in this world that there are lots and lots of people out there who are willing to be helpful and kind just for the sake of it and who make no demands in return. And writing the children's books is a thoroughly enjoyable experience, and meeting the people who help me is certainly a big part of that.
How do you balance the fact that, I mean, and the characters actually talk about in the books, the fact that, you know, he can do all these things because he's 14 and no one suspects him, but at the same time they're like, he is a kid, how can you let him do all this?
In Crocodile Tears, he's beginning to grow up. I mean, he's grown out of his bicycle, and when he goes back into MI6, the first thing that the head of MI6 says, and he says it in a very disapproving voice, is, you're growing up, you're getting tall. And of course, the bigger he is, the less useful he is to the intelligence agencies. You know, Alex is an ordinary kid. Yes, he's got a few abilities like taekwondo, and he can walk on a tripwire, as it happens, on a trapeze wire. I mean, and he can do karate, but I don't think he's a superhero. He's quite an ordinary kid.
The one thing I was thinking is, my gosh, this kid has had one heck of a 14th year. I mean, when I was reading, realizing that every single book sort of started from the one before, it's just like, wow, that's 1 year.
I often say that, you know, Alex has saved the world 8 times in 1 year, and all he's got out of it is a bad school report, because he's never at school, poor kid. He's always having to do catch-up. And, you know, in a sense, it's strange credibility, and I have to work very hard to make sure that, you know, it doesn't become too ridiculous, the amount of action and the amount of adventures he's had. But I think it was the right decision even so. But, yes, it's absolutely true. It has been one very, very busy year.
Author Anthony Horowitz speaking with Here Now's Emiko Tamagawa. Crocodile Tears, the 8th installment in the Alex Rider series, is now out in paperback. The final installment, Scorpia Rising, comes out in March. Here and Now is a production of WBUR Boston in association with the BBC World Service and PRI. I'm Robin Young. Please join us again here and now.